This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
This is a bit like last week. This is a bit of family business. So if you're visiting, if you're a guest here, you're very, very welcome. It's great to see you and you're welcome to listen in. Hopefully you'll find something worthwhile in here anyway. So on our Day of Generosity every year, we do three things. The first thing is that we give a report on our finances and give thanks. And the second thing is that we think a little bit about what it means to be a giver. And then the third thing is we make an offering, an act of worship, which is why we're going to do it as part of our worship later on, together a financial offering, not to the church, but outside the churches. Joss alluded to earlier on. We have trailed this for the last 2 or 3 weeks, but if that's sort of passed you by, then you've got a few minutes to sort it out with your bank manager or your spouse as I speak. A minister was trying to raise money for his church, and he developed a really good mechanism for doing this. He wired up all the pews to give electric shocks. And then during his talk, he said, right, if anybody would like to give £100, please stand up. At which point he pressed the switch. And everybody, loads of people stood up. It's great. But afterwards, they found three Yorkshiremen electrocuted, gripping onto their chairs. There's also that story about the chicken and the pig, comparing notes over the farmer's breakfast habits. You know, he just loves his eggs and bacon, says the pig. Yes, isn't it great to be able to give something to the farmer for breakfast? Well, that's okay for you, says the pig. You're making an offering. I'm making a sacrifice. Anyway, we used to call this day our pie chart Sunday. That was, for many years, it was a proud name, and we used to have pies afterwards to celebrate. But I've been told that pie charts are very yesterday. We don't do pie charts anymore, apparently, as you'll see in a moment. So we call it the Day of Generosity instead, which is a little more prosaic. A quick bit of background, Leeds Vineyard. By the way, welcome to those of you who are watching online, whether you're live now or catching up a bit later. Thank you for joining with us. Leeds Vineyard is a charity. A charitable company, actually, so it's both a company and a charity, and it operates under the banner, if you search for it, it'll come under the banner of Wharfdale Vineyard. Long story, it's part of the same thing. And we have a board of trustees who provide the governance for the charity, and they rotate, as in the sense of coming on and off the board, over every few years. So at the moment, who have we got here? Just stand up a minute, those of you. We've got William, we've got Judy. Is that it? Just two of them? Okay. Thank you. Michael bides the chair, and he's currently visiting his dad's 150th birthday or something in Wales. And there's also Griselda and Jonathan. I thought I saw Jonathan earlier on. And Tim Steer. Anne is our company secretary, and she sort of runs the show behind the scenes. So we, as in that situation, we submit annual accounts to the Companies House and to the Charities Commission. And if you ever are interested in reading our accounts, you can easily download them from the Charity Commission. I used to bring them up here and have a pile of them for people to take away, and nobody ever took any away, so I've stopped doing that. You can download them if you want them. Most people don't want to do that, and they're not interested. You should be, but you're not. So I'm going to give you a quick snapshot once a year in an interest of transparency and accountability. It'll raise some questions for some of you, which is great. Ask Anne, ask one of the trustees, and if desperate, ask me. I probably won't know the answer, and I'll refer you to Anne or the trustees. So, first slide. No, don't do that. Don't do the slide. Yes, many of you, whether you're online or here, give generously and regularly to Leeds Vineyard. And I just want to say it regularly, but thank you. Thank you for giving, whether it's £5 a month or whether it's 20 times that amount. Some of you have given one-off gifts and legacies and you've made some profit on the sale of a house or on a business or on a bonus payment or something, and you've given one off, and that's great as well. For example, these screens and cameras and projectors, they came about last year because a few of you very kindly made a one-off gift to help us pay for those. But most of the giving comes regularly. So the first slide shows you our income and our spending. So income of 293,000 last year and spending of 283. Nearly all of it is regular giving, you guys giving monthly by standing order or through stewardship or a charity account like that. The third green block is gift aid. Just in case you don't know what that is, when you give, because it's a good thing to give, the government give you your tax back, anything that you've paid on tax. So if you give £100 and you claim gift aid, the HMRC send us another £25. Yeah, it's good. You're not convinced. Okay. Anyway, so if you haven't signed up for gift aid and you're a taxpayer, please do. And it's easy to do that on Church Suite if you're signed up on Church Suite. So nearly all of that giving is regular, and there's the second green one is how much we got in one-off gifts last year. Then on the right-hand side is our spending. Sometimes we show this splitting out all our salaries across all the different areas of the church, pastoral care, Sundays, kids. But on this one, it's the big block. That's just the salaries, and then the other costs are spread out. The big one on the right-hand side is general admin, and that includes Vineyard House, the running costs and the mortgage for that. What it doesn't include is the Child Contact Centre. So money comes in for the Child Contact Centre and goes out to pay for it, so we haven't shown that as part of these figures. Next slide. This is riveting, isn't it? Riveting is the word. I could tell. You're just riveted. So how do we measure what we do? One of the ways is what we spend our money on is staff. That's one of the biggest outlays. We aim at about 50% of our spending to go on paying for people to work for the church. It's about 248 hours a week. We have 10 members of staff. One is full-time, the rest are all part-time. And it's about 6 full-time equivalents. And that includes Jamie, who is the Child Contact Center manager. So how do we work out whether they're doing a good job? There's lots of ways of doing that, but one of the measures is how much time they release in voluntary work. And by that, we mean helping you as the ministers of the church get on with the ministry of the church. Have you heard me say that before? Who are the ministers in the church? So just say it again. Who are the ministers in the church?
We are, yeah.
So don't ever think that just because I'm paid or Sally's paid or whatever, that we do it. Our job is to release ministry through other people. And at the moment, post-pandemic, we're building back up to about 400 hours a week, 20,000 hours a year. Fantastic. That's the output, one of the measures of output from what happens in the life of the church. Next slide, last slide, you'll be glad, is our attendance figure. So one of the numbers that we log is attendance, not because we're sort of microscopic about it, but it just shows trends and helps us make sure that we got resources in the right place at the right time. It's been difficult over the last couple of years because we have not been together, so we've been measuring online attendance, which is a funny thing. You don't know whether someone's deeply engaged for an hour and a half online or whether they switched it on and gone off to do their ironing. We don't know whether somebody's in bed doing a crossword at the same time and has switched off after 5 minutes, or they're praying along with us all the way through. We don't know if it's one person or if it's a whole family. So it's difficult to say what it means, but it means something, and it's encouraging because it's carried on, and these cameras that you helped us buy have really, really helped with that. You know, people are joining in. Some of you are joining in, having to catch up because you were away on Sunday, or maybe you're not well, so you're at home. It's really helpful. As somebody said to me last week, who came for the first time, I've been watching you for 6 months, you know, before we decided to turn up. That's what it's for. And you can see the numbers are encouraging, considering what everyone's saying post-pandemic. Despite all the difficulties and predictions of collapses in the church and the stuff you hear in the press, Leeds Vineyard is still very much alive and well, as you can see from that. This is a thriving, flourishing family where people find a home and healing and a place to worship and to pray and to learn. Just, I think it's appropriate just to stop, William, and just pray and give thanks very quickly for this last year and that we're still in business. William is one of our trustees, and I've asked him to pray for us.
In the Old Testament, Abraham uses the name, doesn't he, of God, which is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And in the New Testament, it's all about God's provision too, and God's provided for us as a church, you know, this last year. So let's pray, shall we? And thank God for that. Father God, we thank you that you have entrusted us to manage and steward our finances with wisdom and diligence. Thank you, Father, that you've provided us as a church family, enabling us to do your work in so many ways over the last year in particular. Father, we especially thank you for the recent gifts and grants that have provided at times when they were most needed. And Father, you have freely given to us. Help us to freely give back to you what is yours, even in the midst of financial difficulty. Help us to give wisely and with a generous heart so that your will may be done and your kingdom come here in Headingley and beyond. Father, we say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you that you have provided. Thank you for blessing us as a church. And Father, we pray that our generosity would continue to bless the people we touch. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks. So, if we turn and look ahead, next year is frankly going to be much more difficult. Our costs are going up as the life of the church gets back into gear in person. And costs are coming under, are going up as well because, and the cost of living is hitting everybody, and that's putting a pressure on the giving. So we are definitely heading into a year when we're having to pray a lot. Our operating policy is that we will spend whatever is given. So if the church gives more, we will do more. If the church gives less, we will do less. And we are excited about where God is leading us and the direction that he's put us in and the things he's put in front of us. So we think we're meant to carry on with that. And so I encourage you to review your giving if you haven't done recently. If you need any information, there's a box on the front page of the website where you can get information. And that your generosity means that we can keep pursuing the vision that the Lord's given us. We have this kingdom mission, and mission needs money. But that isn't really why we give. We heard from Joss earlier on about her heart for giving and for helping and being alongside people. And giving is a response to being given to. Did you hear that? Giving is a response to being given to. It's a response of intimacy and thankfulness to a Savior who has sacrificed everything for us. Giving is worship. Our worship sometimes takes the form of singing. We've done that already, and sometimes that is sacrificial. Our worship sometimes takes the form of the giving of time and energy to the kingdom. Our worship may take the form of bringing glory to God by standing for justice and righteousness in our world. Maybe through being really good at your job. That's an act of worship. It's an act of giving. But worship also takes the form of saying thank you with our wealth and resources and money, whether that be small or large. So I often encourage you to do, when you're assessing your finances, is to pray, Lord, I am just so grateful for all you've done for me, and here is my gift to you. It can never be enough, Lord, but I offer it as a token of my love with joy. I'd like us to read about an act of sacrificial generosity in the Bible. So if you find your Bibles, in the blue Bibles in the pews, it's page 767, where it's the Gospel of Mark. Those of you who are familiar with that, Mark is one of the four biographies about Jesus in the New Testament, the right-hand side of the Bible. Mark chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four biographies. Have you got that? So Jesus, it's, I'm talking about Jesus in verse 3, we'll start at chapter 14. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her," which, of course, we're doing right now. This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. There's an account of an event like this in each of the four Jesus biographies. Obviously made a profound impact on the disciples. Interestingly, the accounts are all slightly different, which adds to the credibility of the record. And I think it probably happened more than once, because it describes a sort of response Jesus provoked in people whom he had rescued and saved. And our giving is a similar expression of thanksgiving and worship. I said earlier, we have a kingdom mission, and mission needs money, but that's not the reason, the main reason for giving. It needs to start with this deep thankfulness and joy, and awareness that nothing we have belongs to us or is to our credit. Everything comes from him. Josh said that at the beginning. Our money, but also our lives, our very lives, our redemption, our salvation. So why do you think this woman in Mark 14, why does she do this extravagant thing? So extravagant that it offended everybody else around her. Can I wind you up? What, do you think your giving offends the people around you? Is our worship so extravagant that it offends? Or is it logical and balanced? My background is as a financial planner. All my finances are very logical and very balanced. And I'm really challenged by this. The response is sometimes, let's not waste it on perfume. We'll give it to the poor. Not sure if it got to the poor, knowing who was in charge of the money box in that story. And of course, we should be thoughtful and wise in our stewardship. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. But I just love the disproportionate abandon of this woman and her response to Jesus. And I'm not judging anybody. If I am, it's myself. I'm just reflecting on how we're so well-behaved and orderly in our giving and our worship and everything else. We give often very generously through carefully calculated standing orders or bank transfers. And that all enables the church to fulfill its ministry. It's all good. Please carry on. A little later on, Phil will be leading us in communion, and And he will remind us of the extraordinary gift we have been given in Jesus' death and resurrection. And we'll reflect and we'll repent. And we'll all come forward if you wish to join in with it. And we'll receive with thanks what we've been given. And as part of that act of worship, on our day of generosity, we'll pledge financial gifts as well. And we'll come to that in a moment. Not to the church, but to others outside the church. And that can be our way, if you like, of pouring the perfume on Jesus' head. Let's do something a little reckless and take up an offering for something outside our own direct ministry, and let's just give it away as a thankful act of worship. Almost irresponsibly. Just go back to the passage. So this woman, verse 3, she's probably not poor or disreputable. She's got £30,000 worth of perfume in her closet. So, I mean, I think she's probably a leader and well-known and successful in business or something. She comes to Jesus with deep, deep gratitude. We don't know what for, but she does this extraordinary, socially awkward, extravagant, wasteful thing, and is immediately judged and condemned for it. But Jesus loved it. He loved it. And he describes it in three ways. In verse 6 we read, he says, she has done a beautiful thing. I love that. I've called this talk, she did a beautiful thing, although it's a truncated version. She did a beautiful thing. It's not something morally right or logically sensible, but something attractive and winsome and thoughtful and emotional and creative and generous and reckless. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Internally, she gives him her heart, and externally, she does this beautiful thing. What's the beautiful thing that you and I can do in response to what Jesus has done for us? And then in verse 8, he goes on to say, she did what she could. And sometimes you just need to hear this, brothers and sisters, that just cut yourself some slack on this. Her worship wasn't to impress others. It was an act for their, it wasn't for their benefit. This was for Jesus, and this is, and it doesn't need to make sense all the time. It doesn't need to look cool to anyone else. You do what you can. Your act of worship is your act of worship, and Jesus loves it. And then he says, she did it for Jesus, verses 6 and 8. Her worship wasn't to impress others. It wasn't an act for their benefit. This was for Jesus. This thing that she could do, she did what she could for him. This astonishingly, this charismatic young man had brought heaven to earth for her. Whatever brokenness she'd been living in, her encounter with him has utterly transformed her life. Wouldn't you love to meet her? What did Jesus do for you that made you do this? It was not just a thank you. Thank you for being nice. Thank you for paying off a debt. Thank you for healing my body. This is somebody whose soul has been rescued, someone who's come out of darkness into the light, someone whose existence has all of a sudden, is all of a sudden gained eternal satisfaction and meaning and significance. Oh, may we encounter Jesus this way too. Isn't that a prayer of your heart, that if that has happened, if that's your relationship with him, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something to seek for, that he would encounter you in such a way that your response is wholly extravagant and almost irresponsible? May we encounter Jesus like this, and then together let us do a beautiful thing. Let us do what we can, and let us do it for Jesus. As we give thanks for another year and for God's provision through difficult times, it's a good thing for us to take up a thanksgiving offering for others too, as we've said, and hence our day of generosity. So, 2 years ago, At the beginning of the pandemic, you may remember we gave our offering we split it between Wheatfields Hospice, which is just across the road over there. Many of us have had encounters with them in one way or another. And we also gave some to Love the One, which is a broadly children's charity in India with whom we have connections. And then last year, we were looking at various justice issues, weren't we? And so we gave to three charities which reflected three of the justice issues we were looking at. We gave to the City Hearts, which was a local charity that does anti-slavery work. We gave to Power the Fight, which is Ben Lindsay's anti-racism charity. And we gave to Arusha, which is an international environmental charity where they, what they say is that they are caring for God's earth and they equip churches in that endeavor. Over the last 2 years, there's been what was already a big problem has become a crisis, and that's the issue of mental health illness. Recent surveys have revealed that, you know, they often talk about 1 in 4 people will have a mental health crisis during a year, every year. At the moment, the surveys seem to show that it's going to be at least double that. And it's particularly an issue for young people who've had the most miserable time over the last couple of years. So our financial offering this year will go directly into helping people suffering from mental health illness through the activities of two charities we've chosen, Kintsugi Hope and Wellspring Therapy. And these two charities do brilliant work in this field, and we're building partnerships with them in different ways in order to be train up ourselves and be more effective in serving this particular need in our own communities too. So I want to show you a couple of videos. We're going to start with the video from Wellspring, which is a Christian counseling practice based in Harrogate, with whom we've worked for many, many years. They've served us in lots of ways over the years, trained us, pastored us, and counseled us, and people in the church. So here's a short video, a 3 or 4 minute video about Wellspring.
Bring hope, healing, and freedom. Freedom from darkness, freedom from those things that hold us back, freedom from the burdens that weigh heavy on our shoulders. He cares about our whole being, our spiritual, physical, and mental health. Mental health problems are a common human experience. They affect around 1 in 4 people in any given year. The pandemic has had a particularly devastating impact on the mental health of many in our community, with loneliness becoming much more common in the UK, increasing from 10% in March 2020 to 26% in February 2021. At Wellspring Therapy and Training, our aim is to support people to find new hope and healing. We are a small, friendly Harrogate charity that offers professional and affordable counselling for children, young people and adults. We also facilitate mental health training and group work. We feel called to offer God's love to our community by providing support for those who find themselves in a place of difficulty or darkness, including those who are experiencing mental health problems. Our professional volunteer counsellors are experienced in working with people who are dealing with many different issues. Counselling offers a safe space for people to be heard and understood, to explore their thoughts, feelings and difficulties without any fear of judgement, to come to terms with past and present experiences, and to start making far-reaching changes in their lives. At the heart of our activities are our Christian ethos and values. We believe that every child, young person and adult in Yorkshire matters to God. We provide affordable counselling because we want our services to be accessible to anyone. Our clients can choose from various price options depending on how much they are able to afford. Many of our clients can only pay a small amount, and so we rely heavily on volunteers and donations for our continuing existence. If you would like to find out more about Wellspring and the mental health support that we offer, or if you are considering giving towards our work, please see our website. Here you can also find further resources and ideas for looking after your mental health.
So that's a wonderful charity. We're working closely with them. We're thinking of setting up a partnership with them to offer that service in Leeds as well. So that's great. Another great organization is called Kintsugi Hope, set up by Mark Regan out of HTB, and it's equipping churches and is a national charity that, again, we've partnered with. Let's watch their video. It's a bit shorter than that one, introducing what they do.
Youngest son Nathaniel was at a friend's house. There was a confrontation with a boy that turned up and decided that he'd take a knife and stab Nathaniel with it. I feel like at that time I was in a bubble and feeling alone and not even knowing how to articulate that to anyone.
I had to have major limb reconstruction surgery. Around the same time, my daughter got a condition called HSP and my dad got cancer. It was like a perfect storm of things going wrong. And I realised that the anxiety was really taking root in my life. And then you realise that actually you can't just carry on and you need to show some self-compassion.
Bereavement is different for everyone. What's really important is that people are able to talk to someone that they can connect with. And through that, there's a real good healing process.
And actually maybe receiving help is letting go of your pride and saying, I am really broken. And as we share in our brokenness, we share in our common humanity.
The brokenness is my heart, it's in pieces. But through time, it's starting to come together again.
If you read up on Kintsugi, I'll explain how that pottery thing works, that rebuilding with gold. And they provide lots of resources for training, and particularly for young people, and working in groups. Very good. So we're going to take a moment to just to sort out our giving. There are, I think we have a slide to tell us how to do it. Yes. So you need to get your phones out if you haven't already done this, and there are some form. Right, Mary's got some forms. So if you would prefer to write it down and write a pledge, feel free to use that. You can tear off the bottom half of it and take it home with you and bring up the other bit and put it in the offering box. So if the website has a page on this, generosity, you may prefer to give in cash, in which case there's a basket here, or checks, if anybody does that still. And those are the bank details. So I'm conflating several things here. So I'm inviting you to come to worship. And the band are going to come up in a minute and lead us in worship. I'm going to invite you to receive communion if you follow and love Jesus. And Phil will take you through that in a moment. And I'm inviting you to respond in generosity with this one-off offering, big or small. And as you come forward, you can just come and receive communion and go back to your seat. That's absolutely fine. You can come and just put something in the offering, and that's absolutely fine. Or you can do both, or you can do neither. Please don't feel obligated. So we're just going to have some music for a couple of minutes while you have time to get on your phone and make the gift, or fill in one of these forms and think about it, or talk to your spouse if you haven't done that yet, if you're married. And then I'll bring it back together and time for communion. Just play some music for us. Can you put the details back up, please?